When my dad was a young man, and as a young pastor, he was a passionate basketball player, even an aggressive player. It was his main sport, and I heard him tell his story often, that in their first church they served in Indiana, where I was born, he was playing a men's pickup basketball game on a Saturday night, and he got his nose broken, and he preached the next morning. Proudly telling the church that it was worth it because his team won. That was my dad in basketball. He was passionate about it. And so growing up, we had a hoop above the garage, and he would take my brother and sister me out there and teach us layups and teach us how to dribble. But the teaching never took. And I never got the game. And when I got into junior high school, basketball was a mainframe part of gym class. Everybody had to play. And because I did pretty well in other sports, at the beginning of the class, it felt great to be one of the first one picked. I love Johnson. You know, as the team captains would pick people, the guys sitting on the benches. And it felt great to be picked, to be chosen, to be an insider up there standing and deciding who else should be on the team. But a few games into the season, all that shifted. And I remember that other feeling of being the last one picked, having the team captains picking everybody around me and not even making eye contact with me, and then somebody was saying, okay, we get Johnson. I hated that. I really hated that. And then added to that to not even get on the boards to play. To be on the bench, to be the one guy who's sitting as other people rotated in and out, to be sitting there not playing, or if they would put me out on the court, to be the one getting the whistle blown at me all the time. What do you mean you can't walk with the ball? Things like that. It was humiliating. Either way, I cut it. And in junior high, middle school, and high school, humiliation comes with really sharp claws. It felt awful. I can remember it even this many years later, that feeling of rejection being passed over, saying, okay, we have to take Johnson. Now, you probably have your own version of something like this. Some vivid memory of not being chosen. And, of course, what I just shared is so completely mild and tame compared to the rejection and deep pain that so many, many other people have about being rejected, whether due to skin color or ethnicity or sexual orientation or disability or religious practice. There's a whole host of things for which people are rejected. And my basketball story is meant just to open that door a little bit to this reality that being passed over, to be rejected, to be not chosen, leaves marks on us that are indelible and often deeply painful. Thankfully, I know, and I hope you know, the flip side of this. The beauty of being chosen. Where the light shines on you and you hear words like, I choose you, I love you, you are precious to me. I choose you. What a great gift that is. To be chosen, to be picked, to be named as precious is a deep, heartfelt need that we have, isn't it? In a beautiful book titled Seven Desires of Every Heart, Mark and Deborah Laser write about this. They call this need to be chosen as the desire to be desired, a deep, heartfelt need that every heart has. And they write, when you feel chosen, you create messages about yourself that are congruent with God's truth about you. You're beautiful. You're special. You're beloved. When you're not chosen, you create distorted beliefs about yourself that are not consistent with who God has created you to be. Messages like, I'm not enough. I'm not lovable. I fall short. I know that some of you have painfully experienced not being chosen by others, being rejected or tossed aside, or worst of all, to be betrayed by somebody you loved and trusted. That's a searing pain that goes so very deep. And wounds of rejection, betrayal like that, they can carry messages like what the Lasers named, messages that are not true and that run opposite of God's truth. Like, I'm not enough. I'm not lovable. I fall too short. Well, I'm here today to bring the living and active Word of God into our lives. The Word that God speaks to us through Jesus. And I'll read the full text in a moment. But Jesus says, I choose you. I choose you. You didn't choose me. I choose you because I love you. That word choose or chose, in Greek it's a compound word meaning two words put together, and it's eklego. Ek meaning out, and lego is the word for speaking. And it's speaking out, as in calling out our names. I choose you and you and you. I choose you. I call your name out. That's what this is. I choose you. I want you. I have plans for you. I choose you. So let's turn to the text. And listen as I read. I'm going to back up a little bit and begin at verse 9 in John 15. And keep your Bibles open. Follow along with me. Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer call you servants because servants do not know their master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The setting of what I just read is really important. It happened on that last night Jesus was together with his disciples. The night of what we call the Last Supper. He gathered them together for a Passover meal, and then a little bit later they went out through the gate of Jerusalem, down the Kidron Valley, up to an olive grove called Gethsemane, and there they sang for a bit. And then Jesus went off by himself to pray, and the others fell asleep. And then a little bit later the temple guard came up to that garden, and they arrested him and hauled him away, and the next day he was executed, crucified. That's the setting. This tightly tied together section actually reaches back a few chapters earlier to the beginning of chapter 13. And it's Jesus' final teaching to his followers. His last time together with them, this distilled time. So think about it this way, acknowledging that we are not Jesus. But if you knew that later on tonight, you would have a massive heart attack, or that you'd be in a terrible accident, and that without a doubt, tomorrow you would die. And tonight was your gathering with your closest friends, your family, people who you deeply love. What would you tell them? What would you share? More than likely, you would tell them how much you love them, how deeply woven into your life they are. Individually, how precious each one is, things about them that you know and love and value so deeply. You'd probably express your hopes for their life ahead and share some wisdom about life that you have. So it is here, but this is Jesus. These few chapters, John 13 to 17, are that. His final words to his hand-picked followers, close friends that he specifically chose to invest his life in and to carry on his work after his crucifixion and his resurrection. And so, 28 times in this section, John 13 through 17, 28 times we find variations on the word love. A new command I give you, love each other. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Love, love, love. Greater love has no one than this than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Love each other, love each other, love each other. It's all about living this love. Keep this at the core of who you are. Love each other, because I've chosen you to do this. I didn't plan it this way, but this is a very fitting word to have on this Valentine's Day. When we send cards and there's heart-shaped candies and words of love and notes. And I hope genuine words of love to each other and to others. Love isn't the only theme in these chapters, but it anchors everything else, as with life. And so coming back to that choosing that Jesus does, he chose these first disciples, the 12 apostles. He specifically chose them, calling them out as his own, a select group. But, and here's the good news for us, what he said is not limited just to them, as if we're just reading ancient history. Because after his crucifixion, and then his resurrection, and right before he ascended to heaven, we read at the very end of Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 28, Jesus gave a command, a charge to his followers. A charge to bring others into this too, into this love relationship with him, to let others know, like us, that his invitation is for us too. He said, go and make disciples of all nations, all people groups, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And without a doubt, I'll be with you to the very end of everything. Go and do this. And a short time later, when the Holy Spirit came upon the followers of Jesus at Pentecost, we read this in Acts 1 and 2, that gift of the Holy Spirit opened the door wide for anyone and everyone to hear and receive the good news of Jesus Christ and to know as a pure gift, not something we work for or earn, but as a pure gift, that the very same word is spoken over your life and my life. I choose you. I choose you. I choose to pour out my love over your life, to run my fingers over every part of your life. I choose to forgive you, to untangle you from the sins that trail you, that tangle up your feet, and to release you from them. I choose to move into the very core of who you are and bring that deep healing no one else can bring. I choose you to do this to you. I choose to move into you and to give you other words. You are precious. You are loved. You are chosen. You're mine. You didn't choose me, but I chose you, and I've called you by name, saying, I want you to know me and to follow me. One last thing, and then we'll close. Jesus' words in verse 16 go on. I chose you and appointed you to bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my Father, in the name of my Father will give you. This is my command, love each other. Now there's a whole other sermon in there, but for now I just want to touch very briefly on that bearing fruit that will last. Fruit is sometimes used in the Bible literally, like the fruit of the harvest, the fruit of a fig tree. But more often than not, it's used to describe the outgrowth the productive flourishing of God's presence in our lives. And the most beautiful description of this is the fruit that Paul wrote about in Galatians 5 that was on that heart I gave to the children earlier. The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. In the span of life that we have, which is really very short, this is that lasting fruit that can grow in our lives, on our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And what can have more impact in this world and upon the people whose lives we intersect with than this type of fruit grown in us by the Holy Spirit, coming as a gift to us through Jesus Christ? Because He's chosen us. So a final word. Do you know His words spoken over you like this? Do you know them in that very deep, personal way, your name attached to it? Words of love, words of choosing, words of forgiveness and hope and healing. Many people sense this audibly. They hear Jesus speaking. Many others sense it deep on the inside, a sense of peace, His presence within us. So no matter how badly or cruelly you've been treated by others in the past or maybe today, and there are wounds among us, we know that. No matter how many times in your life you have been rejected or passed over, or that most awful one of all, to be betrayed by someone you loved and trusted. No matter how believable those pain-filled messages might be that tell you you are not enough, you're not worthy, you fall way too short. No matter how persistent the lies of this world may be hammering into your head that your worth is about how you look or how much you make or what you do or how many friends you have or whatever it is, there is a greater word. There's a truer word that overrides all of that. And it comes from Jesus, who says, I choose you. You didn't choose me. I chose you. You're precious. I know you better than you know yourself. And I have plans for your life. And despite whatever other messages you carry, what I say about you overrides all those. I choose you because I love you. And I've called out your name and named you as one in whom the fruit of the Spirit can grow and flourish. I've called you into a larger mission than you might even know. To know my love and to spread my word and to make disciples of other people, to let them know this too. So if you haven't known Jesus in this way, and His direct invitation to you, in your heart as well as in your sense of being part of a larger mission, may today be the day that you do. And may today be the day for all of us to ask Him to carry us further out into this love work that He's doing. Because He chose us. He chooses us. And we're precious to Him. Let's pray. Lord, day by day we get messages coming at us. Messages that anchor us into the material world and into gathering up and impressions we make and how we look. All kinds of things that run far short of what you give to us. Help us to continue coming back to your truth, that we are loved, We are loved so deeply that you died for us and you rose again to bring new life, eternal life to us. Help us integrate this into every day and to hold on to it in every interaction and to be used by you to share your love, your word to people around us, many of whom may have no idea of how much you love us. So we commit ourselves into your hands, praying for your will to be done in us, for your love to grow in us, for your fruit to flourish in us. We pray this all in your holy name. Amen.